It is time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you a look at the National Football League week number 9 of Sunday action. That's crazy. We're already past the midway point. How depressing. Not that much football left. I mean, there's a lot of football left, but in relative theory to where we were at one point, not all that much. Anyhow, let's give you the social media rundown. You can check us out at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter and, of course, the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Big shout-out to Eagles fans, and we'll get to specifically why they're going crazy today. But big win for the Birds last night, and Jordan Matthews helping to guide the Eagles along to a 500 record. And that will usher us into the game of the week. Jordan Matthews and the Philadelphia Eagles defeat the Dallas Cowboys 33-27 on Sunday night in overtime. Big effort by Sam Bradford and Matthews. Matthews coming up with a big touchdown catch to win the game for the Eagles. 41-yarder where he did a lot of the work to beat the Dallas defensive backs into the end zone and give the Eagles a 6-point victory. It was a close, kind of boring game in the first half, and then it just blew up. Both defenses kind of wore down once the offenses got into a rhythm. And I got to give Matt Castle some credit. He played well for the Cowboys. I thought this was going to be an easier game for the Eagles. It did not turn out that way, in part because of the efforts for Castle, who threw for 299 yards and 3 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Bradford, 295, and the touchdown. DeMarco Murray, far better effort from him in his second outing against his old team in the Cowboys. 161 yards total of offense for Murray. He did not have to worry about the offensive line stinking out the joint. Incredibly, the Eagles' defensive line, or excuse me, the Eagles' offensive line played far better against this outfit of the Cowboys' defensive line, which is probably more talented than the group they saw earlier this year. They did a better job of blocking it up, and you saw the results on offense for the Eagles. Here's where we stand now in the NFC East. The Eagles stand at 4-4, half a game back of the Giants out of first place, and the Cowboys are 2-6. Look, you heard this theme throughout last night. You heard this theme, really, over the last few weeks. The Cowboys just need to wait till Tony Romo gets back and they'll be fine. I don't think that's the case. I think they're dead. I really do. 2-6 is, to me, very difficult to come back from. And you're assuming that Tony Romo is just going to be ready to roll once he comes back. That's problem one. The other problem, too, you know, they have to go at Green Bay. You know, when Romo comes back, he's shooting to come back in late November to play at Miami. That's not a layup. So the idea that he's going to come back and clean house, I think, is really a misnomer. So the Cowboys, I think, are in a lot of trouble now as they move forward here this season. And, this is a tough beat for the Cowboys, no doubt about it. The Eagles, meanwhile, still half a game out of first place. Interesting week next week because the Eagles get to see the Giants play New England. Now, the Eagles have not played New England either. That's coming up in the first week of December. But the Eagles could get some help next week as the Patriots head to MetLife Stadium to take on the Giants. Let's go to the other big game, or one of the other big games of the week. Carolina 37, Green Bay 29. Carolina stays undefeated. The game came down to this, essentially. A 4th-and-goal from around the 5-yard line. Green Bay ball. Aaron Rodgers took the snap, looked out left and then to his right briefly, and then got pressured and then threw an interception. The replay showed that wide open on the play was Randall Cobb in the end zone. Now, they said a pick play, which wasn't called, but anyhow, he was open. And Rodgers just not threw that football to him, threw an interception to Thomas Davis, and Green Bay drops their second game in a row after starting 6-0 in the year, now 6-2. And now Carolina at 8-0, and Carolina has what is tantamount to a 3-game lead now over Green Bay for home field advantage. You look at how the rest of the conference in the NFC is breaking out right now. Looks like Carolina's going to have home field advantage here. Certainly, you know, it's not that hard to blow a two-game lead when you're halfway through the schedule. But the way Carolina has been able to build momentum this season, looking good for them. And I'll tell you another thing, too. That is not a team I think that I feel ultimately comfortable with in the postseason because they turn over the ball a lot in bad spots for a team that is, record-wise, one of now three unbeaten teams in the NFL. So I think you have to be concerned by that. Cam Newton, 3 touchdowns on the day. He threw a terrible interception up 8. And, you know, going back to that 4th-and-goal play, that was the setup to that play for the Packers. They come up with an interception off of a bad throw by Newton. Carolina extremely lucky that Green Bay did not find a way to get in the end zone and then tie it with a 2-point conversion. But anyhow, Carolina right now in the catbird seat in the NFC, 8-0. Elsewhere, Minnesota 21, St. Louis 18 in overtime. Minnesota jumps to 6-2. The Rams drop back to an even 4-4. The big news out of this game, Teddy Bridgewater was knocked out cold after an illegal hit. Hey, look, I saw some of the players saying, oh, it's a fringe play. No, it was a dirty play. It was a dirty play. Bridgewater got elbowed in the head on a slide as he's clearly sliding down, clearly into a slide. You're not supposed to hit a guy, and if you do, it's a 15-yard penalty. He got elbowed in the dome, and then the scary image of him lying what looked like he was asleep on the turf in Minnesota. Oh, and Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, not happy about it afterwards. He said that the Rams have and their defensive coordinator have a history of doing this. He was specifically naming Greg Williams, well, not naming him particularly, but you can figure out what he's talking about. Greg Williams was a guy who was a defensive coordinator of the Saints during the Bountygate scandal. So I think he was none too pleased about what was happening there. As we said, the Vikings now 6-2. Bridgewater, according to early reports, should be okay. Maybe we'll be back next week. The Vikings, as a result, tied for first place in the NFC North. Adrian Peterson over 100 yards rushing on the day. New England 27, Washington 10. New England 8-0 now. This one was basically over from the time it started. The Patriots jumped out to a 7-0 lead, went for an onside kick. Could have made it 14-0, but Julian Edelman hands. He fumbled. And really, that was the only time you really felt like Washington maybe had an inkling of a chance. They dropped way too many passes, too sloppy. Brady, 299, 2 touchdowns as well. The huge news out of this game for New England, Deion Lewis may have suffered a significant knee injury. The early reports were kind of bizarre. It said that, and this was from Adam Schefter, the report was that Lewis had some instability with his ACL. In other words, it was loose. I don't know what that means. I'm not a doctor. But the good thing is, at least they don't believe at the moment, it's torn. It could be when they take a look at the MRI, but they said it's loose. So we'll see how that goes for Deion Lewis and the Patriots. If they lose him, that's a big loss for that offense because he has helped them out a ton dealing with some of their offensive line issues in relationship to making it easy for Brady to kind of dump off passes and things of that nature so far. So the Pats will have to go back to work on offense if they are without Lewis for any significant amount of time, which I think at the very least it looks like they will be. Tennessee 34, New Orleans 28, another overtime game. This is a terrible loss for the Saints. Marcus Mariota, 371 yards and 4 touchdowns. It used to be hard to win in New Orleans. Not so much now. First win for interim coach Mike Mularkey. Very emotional after the game was over. By the way, check out the post-game press conference that Drew Brees had. It looked like he had been in a heavyweight fight. My God. Cuts on his mouth. It did not look good. Jets 28, Jaguars 23. Ryan Fitzpatrick played with a torn ligament in his non-throwing hand for 272 yards on the day. Late interception thrown by Blake Bortles, which helped save the day for the Jets as they regained some of the momentum they've lost over the last couple of weeks with the loss to New England and to the Oakland Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders, Pittsburgh 38, Oakland 35. Another injury for Ben Roethlisberger. This one's a foot injury on his left leg. He threw for 334 yards and two touchdowns, but it appears he will be out a few weeks here for the Steelers. And that is going to be a very disappointing loss because, you know, Landry Jones has played well at times in Big Ben's departure. Played well yesterday. They did lose to Kansas City. So you wonder if he's going to be able to survive there long term without the services of Big Ben, who is, you know, that's another lower extremities injury for Roethlisberger. So that's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can recover from that. D'Angelo Williams replacing Le'Veon Bell, 170 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Antonio Brown, one of the big stories of the day. Listen to these numbers. 17 catches, 284 yards. 17 catches, 284 yards. Franchise record. Landry Jones led the game-winning drive after the Raiders were able to tie it at 35. Late field goal by the Steelers to forge ahead by three, and that puts the Steelers, at least for the moment, back in the lead position in terms of the wild card race. They, along with the Jets, in wild card spots right now if the playoffs ended, or if the season ended today. San Francisco 17, Atlanta 16. Terrible, terrible, terrible loss for the Falcons. They're going to rue the day they lost some of these games, I think, later on in the year. Blaine Gabbert gets a win over Matt Ryan. Ugh. The Falcons look like they're a little conservative for my liking at spots late. For Devontae Freeman struggled as well. 12 carries, 12 yards. He did get a touchdown in the passing department where he was able to catch a short touchdown from Matt Ryan. But nonetheless, 49ers over the Falcons by a point. The Giants 32, Tampa 18. A little bit closer than the score indicated. The Giants picked up a late garbage time touchdown after the Bucks tried to get together some lateral magic, if you will, to maybe head down the field a la Miami to potentially tie the game. They would have needed a touchdown and a two-point play. They got neither, and they lose it by 14. Jason Pierre-Paul back in this one for the Giants. Made a couple of tackles off the defensive end spot. Eli Manning, 213 yards and two touchdowns. And the New England Patriots coming to town next week to take on the Giants. Should be a great game. And lastly, the Indianapolis Colts knocking off one of the no longer undefeated teams, the Denver Broncos, 27-24. First loss, as we said, by the Broncos. They trailed at one point, 17-0. Then got that cheap punt return for a score at the end of the half because the Colts are just dreadful on special teams. The Colts, look, they're still having some problems, but they fought hard in this game. There's no doubt about that. Two interceptions again from Peyton Manning. Aqib Talib poked Dwayne Allen in the eye late in this game deliberately, so you wonder if he'll be hearing from the league office. The Broncos are a dirty team. And that's it. That's the long and short of it. They're just a straight-up dirty team. T.J. Ward, I'm tired of watching him dive at guys' knees. Just unprofessional and disgraceful. I mean, it's just it's a joke. So we'll see what becomes of Denver. They were smelling themselves this week. Now, after giving up 27 points, and really, the Colts made a lot of big plays on offense. You have to give them credit for that. We'll see if the Broncos gladly and willingly accept a bit of humble pie that they had to take this week after their loss to the Indianapolis Colts. That will do it for the JMRA podcast this week. Hoping to be back later on in the week. It's been a hectic last couple of weeks on my end from the work perspective, so I haven't been able to crank out that second podcast during the week for everybody. But we'll do our best to get one out later on in the week to take a look at what's to come here in Week 10 of NFL action. Again, social media stuff, at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter, joemontanasrightarm.com is the blog. By the way, as I said earlier, much love and respect to the Eagles fans out there. They love them some Merrill Reese, and I was all too glad and happy to put that cut up there. So the salute to you, Eagles fans, for checking out the blog. I appreciate it. In the meantime, until next time, happy football, everybody.